This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thank you for being with us today. I want to talk today about action versus inaction. Now, that can be taken several ways, obviously, but what I'm referring to here, let's start on the first level and we'll go up. There's three to talk about. So let's start on level one and we'll work ourselves to the third level. The first level is the obvious. And that is the person that sits on the couch and does bugger all. And the person that is really motivated and buzzes around like a bee and works her butt off. Now, a lot of this is due to metabolism. And the metabolism is created by one's karma. So let's take a look at that. As a person comes to the point where his contribution matters to him, he wants to do something. He wants to even do something good. But he wants to do something. He wants to participate in life. This progressively brings him to learning and contributing and experiencing. On the other hand, there's the person who's gotten to the human form of life and has gone, this is good enough. What the? Who cares? I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. There's nothing that excites me. I'm not interested in that. La, 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 la. And they spend their time as a couch potato or an Xbox addict. One of those kind of things. Well, let's look at that from the principal platform, and that is the duration of life. How long can you stay on the couch? Well, until you die there. So you look at it and you go, well, wait a minute. If you're in this particular life and you're meant to achieve something and you spend your life on the couch instead, you're going to have to take another birth and go through making that contribution in another life. Because it's your karma. Karma is something imposed by nature. It is called a law. Not a voluntary issue. It's a law. The activities that you perform induces a reaction. That reaction binds you. You must accept the reaction. You committed, if that's the right word, you committed the act, so you are bound to accept the result. That's the law of karma. So that law says you're supposed to, start a fantastic business. I don't know. But you say, I don't care. I'm going to sit on the couch. You can. You can resist the impetus to do something. You can resist it. You say, no. And you can waste your duration of life on the couch and not become this significant business owner. But in your next life, you'll be pushed right back into a situation where you're going to go and make that contribution and produce, making this significant business. So from an intelligence point of view, you have to look at the circumstances that you're in. According to the Vedic literature, there are four ages taken together, and the first age is pure, without fault. And it gradually starts to diminish during that age, which lasts almost 1.5 million years. And it deteriorates into the second age, and during that period of time, it diminishes to half. And that's just over a million years. And then it goes into the third age, and during the third age, which is about 750,000 years, it deteriorates further to about a quarter. And in this age, which only lasts 500,000 years, it deteriorates to nil. Everything becomes vice. Everything becomes degraded. In the beginning, everything was pure with very little vice. And it gradually transformed into, at the end, it's almost all vice and very little value. So we're in that state. We're in the fourth age. So if you want to spend your time on the couch, you can guarantee that coming back in your next life, it's going to have degraded further. That's the structure, status of the cycle of the universe. So if you come back at another time, you're not going to have as good of facilities. It's not going to be as easy to achieve. You're starting this fantastic business and making it happen. It's going to be harder, and the result may be less significant because you've wasted time. And your body may not be as competent, intelligent, good at memory, healthy, strong, etc. It will be diminished as well. So, to sit on the couch, you don't win. The inactivity side of it actually will reduce your potential, reduce your options to achieve a significant result. So, from this particular platform of analysis, the person who thinks they're comfortable and getting away with things and avoiding work and getting by, so where's the problem? You're not. You're actually deteriorating your own capabilities and potential for the next round because you don't get out of your karma. You can postpone. You can try to avoid, but it still comes back. So, in an intelligent perspective of life, time wasting is a very serious problem to avoid. One should not waste time. One should be very efficient in their activities and what they're doing and what is good and what is not good. Now let's take a look at the next level. Let's take a look at the second level. And that is doing good versus doing bad. Now, I know that everybody tries to teach the children, okay, that do good, Johnny. Don't be bad boy. Do good. Because he's an irritant. He's a problem. He creates issues or problems if he's bad. And if he does good, he actually assists and supports the progress through life. And he can be a significant contributor. So we try to teach the children, and hopefully it sticks, such that when they're adults, they're responsible adults, and they try to do good. Okay? They try to put forward a contribution, a positive contribution. Now, if we go back to the same overview, the karmic reaction, if you do good, your next life will be a progressive one. It'll be better. You will receive good opportunity, good experiences, good education, good strengths, etc., etc. As opposed to if you make a negative contribution, you won't have those results. And this is very subtle. It's not just, oh, I dug a bigger ditch than the other guy. It can also be that, oh, I whacked the guy on the back of the head whenever I got a chance. I was throwing rocks at people that were digging in the other ditch. I was just a total pain in the butt all the way through my whole life. I just made everybody unhappy to be around me. So it's subtle, and it's gross, but it's accumulative. And every single thing is being noted. So if you make a positive contribution, you can look forward to a positive experience in the future. And if you make a negative contribution, you can look forward to some negative experiences in the future. That's very simple physics. That's just the law of nature, right? Physics. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Physics. But people are not being trained and educated properly in this. They're not recognizing that the laws of karma and the laws of nature cross over the threshold of birth and death. Everybody wants to think, oh, when you die, you get a clean slate and it's over. Uh-uh. That's those who want to avoid responsibility think that and propagate that and teach that and swear by that. But that's not supported by the authorized scriptures, and it's not supported by people's experience. If we actually use that perspective to analyze people around us, many, many more aspects of their life make sense. You can see how two children born in the same family, one just goes west and the other one is really amazing. Well, what is it? Is it the genes? Is it the parents? Is it the upbringing? No, it's the karma. Because in their previous lives, they were of different natures. And so in this life, they were getting different results. And you can even sometimes, the person who is a real pain in the butt, a negative contributor, if you try to make some arrangement and make something very nice, and here, I'm going to give you this good opportunity, I'm going to give you this chance, and give you this object, they mess it up. They can't hold it. They can't keep it. They can't do the job, or they can't respect the goods, or they can't properly use whatever you've given them, or they'll mess up the opportunity, or. Because the karmic balance is stronger than we all perceive it to be. It's stronger than the threshold of birth to death and death to birth. So the intelligent who take information from the Vedic literature, and where all this is literally, absolutely explained in detail, he understands then that this law of karma not only transcends the threshold of birth and death, but it is more powerful than I am. And it dictates the quality of birth I get, the parents I get, the status of life, the country, the planet, the whole thing is dictated by the stronger law of karma upon the weaker living entity. So we can understand, if he's taking an intelligent and he's been trained, he's given transcendental knowledge, perspectives, he can see that it benefits him to choose to make a positive contribution. Now, I say choose because that's a very significant issue in that the Lord creates everybody with free will, and the Lord never violates the free will. Now, people violate your free will all the time. It's become, that's the method of government now. Control, 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 control. Stop, reduce, eliminate independence. But the Lord creates everyone with independence. Everybody has independent free will. And the governments, they're very perverted in this age. They want to take away that free will because you're easy to govern if you all march and stand and dance and sing to the same tune and don't pay any attention to anything of significant value. You don't make waves. And we see that the schools are a disgrace now. They aren't educating the people to be who they are. They're educating them to be like everybody else. They punish the whole class. They don't punish the individual. They don't reward achievement at all anymore. They'll simply punish a problem, but they don't reward. They don't encourage people to be good or improve themselves. The schools have lost sight of that. They're worried about their syllabus and their curriculum, but they've lost sight of their responsibility to developing the moral, ethical character of the living entity such that he makes a positive contribution and that he surpasses the status of life he started with. They're not teaching any growth in schools. So, but if he's fortunate, and if he has, like I say, a good karma from previous life, he'll get this understanding. He'll get this perspective that if I do good, I get good. And if I do bad, I'll get bad. And he's then conscientious. He conscientiously tries to do the best he can in whatever he's faced with. Okay? Whatever it is. He's the kind of person that's tidying up. He's not making a mess. He's tidying up. He's not avoiding his work and responsibilities. He's helping someone else when he's finished with his own work. He's not the one who's causing trouble and bitching and moaning and complaining. He's comforting someone who has a problem. So this positive side is what the realized soul sees. He sees the positive in people and in opportunity and in the world. He's not critical by nature. And yet we have a society that's all they're teaching. They're teaching everybody. This is going on, not just schools, don't misunderstand me. This is going on in our social structure. And what is that? Find fault. If you can find fault, oh, you're advanced. If you'll simply find fault and point that out to others, oh, how intelligent that person is. The Vedic literature completely kicks that out. This is not intelligence. Intelligence is not fault finding. Intelligence is self-control, such that you tolerate the faults and you see the potential, the good in others, and you encourage that good. This is rare now. You see it sometimes in preschool or little children. Oh, that's very good, Mary. You've done a very good job. It's a beautiful drawing. That's very nice. But you don't see that in the workplace. You don't see that in life in general. It's critical. Fault finding. Could have done better. I could do that. Building oneself up at the price of others. showing off, arrogance, disrespect to others. That's what you see. Now, this is all caused by the immoral standard of the television set, but that's another subject and not for today. So what we're looking at is that the level of activity that is performed, that the action you perform, should be in the category of good action. It should be to where it makes others feel better. It helps the overall situation. It brings enlightenment. It brings encouragement. It transfers knowledge and information factually. These are the concepts that lead to proper action, because you have to have the right concept in your head before you perform an action. You can't fake it. Oh, some psychopaths can fake it. They make you think that they're your friend, but they actually, they're stabbing you in the back with the other hand and cheating and lying, etc. That's another subject. But as an individual, normal individual who's choosing between good and bad and right and wrong on a moment-by-moment basis of how to use his independence, the intelligent person comes to the realization that doing good is far better for me and everyone around me and the overall program and my next birth, etc., etc. It is a better situation. Now let's talk about the third level. The third level is the comparative difference between a selfish, materialistic action, whether it's good or bad, and a transcendental, selfless activity. All right, now I'll clear up the definitions for you so that we can get on the same page. But I say selfish because when one performs an action, he himself personally will have to be forced to accept the reaction. So any action, good or bad, is intended and will result in an action in the opposite direction upon the same person. Now, in the other category, we're talking about selfless and transcendental. Selfless means he's satisfied within himself. He's not out there for himself. He's actually out there trying to make a contribution. And he's learned the difference between a material contribution, feeding people, let's say, or building a hospital, or walking elderly people across the street. Simple examples. But he is concerned with what is liberating activity, and what activity can I perform that brings satisfaction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes? How do I serve God? Now, the Lord God, Krishna, the Supreme Personality, Krishna does not belong to this material world. He creates, it's subordinate to him, this material world. He is called transcendental, means he is totally aloof from and above the manifestation. So if he is above the manifestation, if he is transcendental, then actions relating to him are also transcendental. And if the individual person, the individual living entity, spirit, soul, uses his free will to act in such a way that the Lord is satisfied, or the Lord receives some result, or the Lord receives some satisfaction, that activity itself is transcendental. And he therefore has the ability of giving some pleasure to the Lord. Well, that earns a different type of credit. That's acknowledgement from the highest level. And it's not acknowledgement for some material benediction or result. Oh, maybe if I go on and do something really cool, God will go, oh, that was nice, and I'll get that car I want. No. The relationship between the living entity and the Lord is by constitution, by creation, natural condition. You are a servant of the Lord, and the Lord is the receiver of all service. So if you take a humble position, I'm simply the servant of the greatest being, and I'm trying to render some service as he desires. It's not that I'm concocting, oh, the Lord would love to have this ice cream cone, I'll take him one. No. What does the Lord want of you? And that comes from the heart. And similarly, it comes from the instructions of the spiritual master. And similarly, it comes from the revealed scriptures, the Vedic knowledge. So when one is aware of the instructions of the spiritual master, he's read the Vedic knowledge and he feels within himself, this is what dovetails all these instructions and points of view and knowledge and my transcendental use of my independence. That type of activity is called devotional service. And devotional service is in a completely separate category of its own. It is completely unique. It does not cause a reaction, good or bad. It does not bind one to the cycle of birth and death. It does not have an influence on one's next birth in the material world, because one does not take birth in the material world again. You're able to leave the material temporary tabernacle and return to the eternal spiritual world. Floating in the Brahmayoti are the Vaikuntha planets, and the topmost planet, Sri Krishna Loka, is there, where the Lord resides. And the living entity who awakens to the fact that the Lord wants something from him, he's aware from the Vedic literature of how the structure is, he understands in the spiritual master what to do and what not to do, he's empowered. He's empowered with the capacity to use his free will in such a way that there is no reaction for the action. He's not bound to take another birth. He's not bound to suffer and enjoy the results of his activities. He's actually liberated, freed from the cycle of birth and death, from having to take a temporary material body that delusions him. I was reading to where the Lord has some 64 good qualities. And since we as living entities, the spiritual master was describing that we have those good qualities too, because we are a part and parcel of God. Just like a drop of water has all the characteristics of the whole ocean, similarly the living entity has the same qualities as the supreme person. But we have temporary material bodies covering us, and those great good qualities aren't able to shine through. The body itself is a restrictive cage. And it gives everyone the difficulties. Everybody has bodily problems. No one can say they don't. But when we uncover the body, the good qualities then shine through. And this is what the spiritual master instructions are for. How to engage in activities that do not make you take another one of these dull bodies. This is what the Vedic knowledge is for. How to teach you how to uncover these good qualities in you. Manifest them. It goes beyond positive karma or negative karma. It goes to transcendental contribution. But what you're doing is a selfless act for the satisfaction of the Lord, because the Lord desires this to be done. It's not that you sit in a room and you know, the Lord says, I need a drink of water. I'll get it. No. The Lord has a purpose. He's actively trying to recover the delusioned living entities suffering in material bodies. He has a reclamation system going on, trying to wake people, encourage people, bring them back to their transcendental consciousness. So there's much, much work to be done in this material world on behalf of the Lord, because the Lord has a mission here. It's not that you have to say, oh, what am I going to do? It's already there. It's already prescribed. This is why one reads the Vedic knowledge. This is why one listens to the spiritual master, to get the understanding of what the real mission is. All the living entities, they have their little teeny missions. I want to be president. I want to have this. I want to have my 25 minutes of fame. I want. But the Lord has a plan. And his plan is to devise a method and to install that program such that the living entities that can come out of their illusioned condition caused by their material bodies and return to devotional service. And that method, it is designed and created and inaugurated by the Lord himself. He actually is described clearly in the Vedic literature, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the topmost scriptures on this planet. It's described in all of them clearly that the Lord was so adamant, so merciful about reclaiming these living entities who were caught in material bodies and trying to enjoy, that he actually incarnated as a devotee and set a lifetime of example. He simply lived an example as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Lord Chaitanya, he demonstrated how to be a servant of God, how to assist in serving the other servants of God, how to get the message of what's the plan, what is the divine plan. He passed that plan on. He made it openly known. And he devised a method such that even the most fallen could be raised up to qualify to participate in that plan. That was the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the great mantra for deliverance that affects the consciousness of whoever chants it in a completely cleansing and positive way. It purifies the delusional concepts. It purifies the contamination. It purifies the misconceptions dramatically. One simply chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as inaugurated by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was his intention. He came, lived a life of example, and showed people this is the direct method to get out of the illusory state of life, make a positive contribution, not be concerned about your next birth because you return to the spiritual world, eternal life, full of bliss and knowledge, outside of, finished with, this material world. But if you want to lay on the couch and do nothing, you'll keep coming back and coming back and coming back until you become inquisitive about how do I do something better? How do I at least make a positive contribution? And then you come to how do I make a transcendental contribution? And you end in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, engaged in devotional service, and your consciousness becomes purified, your life becomes successful, and you become fully enlivened within. This is the power of the demonstrated method of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.